It is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. It's Between Sundays. Jason, man, it feels like it's been a while.
I feel like we should... did we break up?
I don't know. It's been a while.
So we could not make last week happen.
Yeah, I was traveling.
Yes, and then the week before... I hosted without you.
Yeah, because I had my wife was out of town, so I was a single dad for 4 days.
Correct. And yeah. So I would love to tell you that we spoke exclusively.
I heard it.
In a positive bent,
yeah,
towards you.
Yeah.
And we did
some,
but I was just trying to establish that I don't ever want to do the show without you.
But I don't need you. That's what
But I was capable of doing it without you.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. When I think as far as dudes go, me listening back to that and hearing your heart in those moments made me think, yeah, we're good friends.
We are.
Had you been like super nice, I'd been like, I think something's wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
What is going on? Why is he having to try so hard?
The fact that I really spoke, like a certain degree of almost like a competitive bent towards it.
To me, that's we're
buddies.
Yeah. And so not a problem at all. And then, you know, it's been interesting. So last week I had to speak at a pregnancy center banquet in Dixon, Tennessee.
Okay.
And so I went in and I picked up my mama. She was my date for
the event. I saw that. Yeah, that was
so
fun.
So she really
Great
enjoyed
picture
it.
That you got out of it.
It was a lot of fun. But I want to tell you, when I came back Friday night and I got home and Jason, there's a pig at my house.
I did see a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't actually talk midweek.
Not at all.
Or throughout the week. Yeah. We just follow each other's Instagram.
That's right. That's all. I mean, that's what friendship is in 2019.
So what in the world? There's a pig at your home. I mean, I know that you guys got a little space. You can do that, you know.
A little space.
And you obviously, you know, your family were farmers.
It's an indoor pig, Jason.
But I need to know what's going on with the pig.
Yeah. And so, my wife works at a vet.
Correct.
And so all of our animals pretty much are rescues, in some shape, form, or fashion. Our oldest dog is a Great Pyrenees that we rescued back the year we got married.
Right.
Then we have Toothless that we rescued.
Right.
Then Granna's dog is not a rescue, but, and then we have two cats that were rescued. And so we have a rescue.
To clarify, Toothless is not a dragon.
Toothless is not a dragon.
Like,
it's a dog.
Like the movie.
It's a dog, but he looks like the dragon.
Okay, got it.
He stands in the same posture as the dragon.
Yeah.
And we let our kids name it, which is a terrible idea. And so, we have a rescuer's heart. So while I'm out of town, I get a text from Aaron, and all it is a video. In our bedroom, there's a pig and our kids.
No.
And that's all the video was. No explanation.
No.
No. And I just wrote back, no. That's exactly what I wrote back. Big O, N-O, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But I know my wife does this when I travel. She knows the kids are going to fall in love with
Absolutely.
It. And then I'm going to get weak when I get home and not be able to tell the kids
And
no.
You'll be the bad guy.
And I'll be the bad guy if I say, no, we're going to actually eat this pig and not keep
it. Yeah.
And so I think the Wood family's adding
Which
the
is
pig,
really
Jason.
An unfair technique that, you know, I think spouses use all across the board. I mean, I want to applaud them
because
it's wise, but it's unfair.
Well, here's what I'm going to do next
So
time.
What have you done?
Well, I think we're going to have a pig.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And
in the house?
You know, listen to me justifying it. They don't smell. They don't shed. It's house trained.
Who house trained the pig?
I don't know. The people that had it, I guess.
Unreal.
And so.
How big is the pig?
Not that big. Not as big as our golden retriever.
Oh. Okay. So it stays small?
I don't know.
Like.
Maybe.
Okay. So real quick here.
Yeah.
Is there a fattening process that eventually the pig becomes
food?
A meal?
I don't think.
Okay.
I think that's how I grew up. That's how my dad grew up. My kids would have counseling the rest of their lives.
Correct.
If we did that. That's not, I don't even know how to have that conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Traditionally, you're not house trained a pig that you're going to eat.
My stipulation though is I want to name it Jimmy Dean.
Nice.
I think that's
a good
name. I think a double name for a pig. It's an interesting thing, Jason. But here's what I'm going to do. Next time my wife travels, I'm going to go purchase a brand new truck. and I'm going to get the kids to fall in love
They're
with it.
They're going to love
then
it.
I'm
going
to say, oh, man,
oh,
what are we going
to
do?
Oh, I hate to do that too.
Well, I had to rescue this truck.
I like that. But that would imply that you were anything less than satisfied with the van.
That's true.
And I'm not comfortable with that.
I want it all.
So two things. We're gonna get into I think maybe an interesting subject today.
Yeah.
But two things before we do that. You know, when we get a little bit of this break on occasion, again, you were gone for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I was gone for 1 week. It gives me a chance to reflect, but it also allows me a longer window to have heard from our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, some of our most loving listeners will reach out and allow us the privilege of knowing our mistakes.
Sure. Yeah,
you know,
sure.
And so two things. One is I believe you and I at a fairly recent show, we had completely dismissed the University of Tennessee Volunteer football team.
Yes,
and
we
had completely said that the basketball team would win a game before the football team.
Said that.
And we were incorrect.
Yeah.
So our apologies to Coach Pruitt.
Coach
and
Pruitt
the team.
Has really turned it around.
Yeah. And so.
Garantano really turned it around.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm for
I'm
it.
All
we,
in.
We celebrate that.
I'm all
and
in.
The second thing, though, is on a recent show, we somehow got into discussion about holidays.
Yes.
We did. Our top five holidays.
Yep.
And it seems that I missed Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I did too.
And Valentine's.
Yeah, well,
now,
Valentine's
you said Valentine's would not be in your top five.
It
probably not mine.
Yeah, I think it's made up.
But I do think that potentially on my list, like Labor Day or something, may have made it above Thanksgiving.
I think it did.
And
yeah.
So I need to just give clarity out there, some clarification here. I will now introduce at least Thanksgiving into my top
100%. It is top five.
It was a miss.
And
it was a miss.
Yeah, we just missed it. But it is the best. Like this season right here.
It's pretty great.
We're peak year.
Here we
this
are.
This is it. This is Thanksgiving, Christmas. I've been watching a Hallmark movie a night. And, you know, last night Aaron said, she said, first off, turn it off this Hallmark movie. And then second, she said, you are flying through or kind of wishing us through the holiday season. I said, that's not true. I've been celebrating this since the first day of September.
Correct.
And so, if anything, I'm prolonging the holiday season. And I just say that out loud to affirm myself and affirm anyone else that is really truly celebrating the holiday season for months and months.
So we made the move. Well, not we tried the 1 week trial period of Disney Plus.
Okay. I heard it crashed yesterday.
And I think it did. We did not experience that. But it has every Star Wars movie, every Disney movie, every Pixar movie.
It's like every Marvel movie.
Yeah, $7 a month.
That's crazy.
And so there's a possibility that if we hold on to this Disney Plus through the holidays, we may miss quite a few Hallmark movies.
Yeah. All you got to do is see one.
That's true.
You see one. They go back home. They've gone to the city to work. They go back home. They meet somebody.
Fall in love.
And then they're having a conversation with some other interest they have. And that the one that they really love overhears that conversation, but hears it out of context. And so he thinks that she's leaving. In reality, she's not. Just all of it.
Yeah, we've seen it.
I'm working on a script.
I like that. So speaking of scripts, one that we probably didn't anticipate.
Yeah.
One that is coming across the cultural landscape is the subject of today's show, and it is Kanye West.
Yeah.
If we said, let's talk about topics, you know, a year ago as we were planning out shows, because that's how far we plan out in advance, you know, we probably would have not thought we're going to give a show that is at least kind of stirred by the activity of Kanye West, and maybe if so, we'd have thought it had been
some other
negative direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. But indeed, today, we are talking about Kanye West. And so for those that are unaware, Kanye, famed, you know, not only rapper, but
producer,
entrepreneur, businessman,
fashion,
the whole
everything.
Deal, has apparently made a conversion to Christ, has surrendered his life to Jesus, and has significantly altered the course of not only his personal life but his career.
Yeah.
And it includes the release of an album that I have listened to, and I would say it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's called Jesus is King, and it it's solid. There's certainly some tenants in there that, you know, like, I don't know if that's exactly what I would, you know, get after doctrinally, but nothing just to me that I initial listen that sounded the alarm, you know, and obviously, musically solid for that style and things of that sort. Yeah. In addition, he's also doing these things called the Sunday service experience. And this is one of these deals that you can get tickets to, but it's like $20 a ticket or something like that. And the ticket, expense goes to a charity, and they are having
big, all over the country.
Massive worship experiences. And at times it's in little smaller venues, and at times it's in 10,000 seat auditoriums. You also are hearing from Kanye in interviews talking about his old self versus new self. You're hearing him talk about, how he's being pastored, how he's being discipled. I mean, there is some interesting stuff that is happening out there. And so today, the topic isn't so much about Kanye West. The topic is more so about, you know, how do we respond to, and maybe, is there anything behind why at times we're apprehensive to believe this? And sure, at times why we're skeptical?
Well, and I think with the platform he has, I mean, who would have thought in 2019 you would have Kanye West not only converting to Christianity, but somewhat becoming a on fire for Jesus and speaking the gospel to thousands, millions of people. And then you would have Kim Kardashian West, his wife, meeting with the president on prison reform and actually getting someone pardoned from death row, or from a life sentence.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, again, if you'd have asked me that in 2018, 2017, hey, what do you think is going to happen in 2019? I can assure you it wouldn't have been, I think these things are going to happen. But the thing that's interesting about Kanye is we look at it and we act as if, I think sometimes we forget that we once were a new Christian.
Right.
And so when, in our newness of faith, we probably said some wrong-headed things.
Correct.
We probably did some things that probably wasn't great.
And there was, as there is for me now, you know, 25 years into my walk with Christ, there's still things of the old, still that are still attacking me. Things that I still, you know, have bent towards the flesh. There is. I'm a new creation, but there's still this baggage at times.
When I
we almost look at it and we think, well, that. It can't be real because he said that one thing. You're like, well, think about if someone was recording me every time I spoke about my Christianity when I was 17 years
old. Well, that, and even if we think about the times that we have preached or spoke before in front of a crowd, maybe before we were ready or probably before somebody should have gave us that platform, we probably said some things we wouldn't really like. I mean, and so he's on fire. That is clear. And he's just putting down thoughts.
Yeah.
And you know, and he made a song about it. He makes songs about it. That's how he releases that. And so, you know, I think watching this, it's an interesting dynamic as we look at kind of the factions that are going, yeah, we believe him, to those that are saying, no, he's not converted, or what's he doing? Is this a marketing ploy or whatever? Yeah. And we'll talk more about that when we come back.
Yep.
Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday.
So as we're talking about Kanye, you know, when I was wondering, okay, is this legit? And then he mentioned Chick-fil-A in a song. I thought,
the guy's
clearly it's legit.
Now I am.
No, it's a great song.
I am in no fashion an expert on lyrical genius.
Sure.
That's a good one. I do know that a lot of people have a lot of respect for Kanye lyrically and as an artist and things of that sort. My initial listen of that particular lyric did not overly impress me, but it's great, I'm sure.
Well, and I think that his genius is beyond our understanding at times.
Golly!
And so... so, yeah. Now I'm sounding like I do think the album is called Jesus is King, and I would encourage you to listen to it. But as we think about this, there was an article written recently talking about somebody went to Kanye's one of the services and just kind of was walking through that. And I think there's some things that occurred in Kanye's life that many of us are not even aware of. And I think we see this like close to a billionaire and we think, well, there's no struggles. There's no pain. There's no issues. I mean, even how Kanye got into the music business. I mean, he had a terrible car accident when he was young and had to do major reconstruction on his face, and his jaws had to be wired together for a time, and just a lot of issues going on there. Then he makes it, but the struggles don't stop when your bank account keeps growing. I think that's what we need to understand.
Yeah. If we could
understand it.
I was going to say if we could go back to another lyric, which is "More money, more problems."
Mace, oh, and he went on to be a preacher too.
I know, it's crazy. No, but there's this guy. So we were actually sharing this article and looking at a few different things. There's a guy named Jonathan Morris. The article was written or was released by Fox News, and you get the impression from the article that Morris himself, one, is a Catholic. But two, may have even had a season in ministry himself. Yeah. And so he goes on assignment. Obviously, he's now a writer, journalist. And he goes on assignment and enjoys one of the Sunday service experiences. And so he says, "While I won't be exchanging my Catholic faith for West's experiment, I left Los Angeles with these takeaways." He said, "I believe Kanye is sincere both in his faith and in his effort to spread the gospel." He says, "Based on the many interviews I did with congregants before and after the event, I believe these Sunday services will serve to bring young people to an encounter with God." Number three, he says, "These Sunday services by West will not be a long-term substitute for ancient liturgy and other ecclesial traditions." I would agree. "But they may serve as a providential spiritual catalyst for the more than 25% of Americans who say they are unaffiliated with any religion." And then finally says, "Kanye deserves immense credit for being fearless in the face of massive criticism from the entertainment world and others for doing what he is doing. He says and does what he believes, even when this goes against the liberal beliefs of most people in this world and in his world." And so I think maybe, Andrew, I would ask to you this morning, you know, why is it that we at times are either very quick to jump onto this, maybe at times too quick, but more so, I would say, why is it that at times we're really slow to believe? You know, like, why is it that at times we're skeptical? What do you think that's birthed out
of? I think it's a pride thing. I think it's a... I think we want to believe, we say we believe that God can save anyone, but the reality for some of us, there's a sense of, well, but let's be honest, he's not going to save him.
Yeah.
Or he's not going to save her. I mean, look at what their past has been. I often equate this to, you know, the president of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And as bad as I say that I want to see them saved, there is a part of me that's like, well,
yeah, and you pray. I know particularly, I know for you, you pray for the president of Planned Parenthood for salvation. And so then it's like, what if she were to come to know Christ and to make a massive shift? It's interesting that in ourselves and in our flesh at times we pray and ask for God to do remarkable things. And then when we see it, we're almost skeptical.
Well, and the interesting thing is, if somebody walks the aisle at the church on Sunday morning, or however, you know, if you have an invitation or whatever, you're not then looking at the crowd, or you're not then talking to folks and saying, "We're going to celebrate this, but we're going to be cautioned. We're going to really caution our celebrating.
Yeah.
But when it happens with Kanye or a celebrity or something like that, we tweet out, "We are celebrating his salvation, but we are doing this with caution." What is that saying about our faith?
Right.
Now he may, this may not work out.
Who knows?
But the fact remains, it appears right now at this moment that a dead man is now alive. I mean, Kanye's even used that language. They said, well, how do you explain the transition from your old you to who you are now? And he said, well, his explanation was, "Well, when you were asleep, would you say that you're in a different state of mind?" and a different state of being when you're asleep. And the interviewer was like, yeah. And he says, I was asleep for a long time. I was a dead man walking.
Yeah.
And now I'm alive because of what Christ has done. And I hear that and I go, that is the gospel. That,
yeah.
That is amazing. That, right. You know.
Here's my thought. I think your illustration is a really good one of, you know, when someone makes a commitment in our churches, we're not immediately, you know, like everybody hang tight here. I think that there, for some of us, there's moments that we've been burnt, you
sure,
know,
absolutely.
And there's been the person that we kind of found ourselves kind of cheering for and rooting for. And I don't think cheering for and rooting for is a bad thing. Obviously,
right.
We want to see all people grow in their
yeah.
faith. We want to celebrate. But then you do find out, oh, it was a marketing ploy, or
yep.
you find out that really, you know, they might have made an authentic commitment, but then they were so new in their faith, and then they didn't get discipled, they didn't get connected to the local church, and unfortunately, then they became this person that had a kind of Jesus connected to their identity,
mm-hmm.
but their identity wasn't really changing because they weren't growing in the faith.
Right.
And so then people were getting this kind of distorted picture of the gospel. And so we've seen that. I get that. You know, I think there's also maybe a piece of it that when we think about a guy like Kanye coming to know Christ, I think for guys like me, we worry about that celebrity thing that we've spoken about so much.
Yeah.
You know, that almost our concern is not so much necessarily the heart of Kanye, but we worry about all these thousands of people that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they looking to Kanye to be their spiritual,
right.
Inspiration? Mm-hmm. Are they looking to any one person, any one celebrity, because they have all of the status? And you can go to a Sunday experience, and even as it's described in the article, and there's been all kinds of other interviews, it sounds like it is fantastic. I mean, it's the quality is out of the roof. You've got a 150-person choir. I mean, I'm sure it is incredibly good, incredibly well done. But the concern is that people walk away from that, and they are replacing a pursuit of Jesus with the fellowship of a man.
Yep.
And almost living vicariously in the same way that we often talk about. We lived, you know, you can live vicariously through your parents'
mm-hmm.
faith or your grandparents' faith, or, you know, someone that was meaningful in your life, but you didn't really have this sincere faith yourself. Like we don't want people just to enjoy an album and really admire what Kanye's doing. No, we really want the things that are spoken in that album and the thing that Kanye has experienced to be personal for them as well.
Well, it's interesting too, and we're about to go to break, but when we come back, I'd like to look at, there's different factions. There's some folks that are celebrating this. There's some folks that have loved Kanye for a long time and now are hearing this and going, because he's also making some comments about abortion. He's making some comments about some controversial issues, and they're like, well, hold on, that's not the Kanye I want.
Yeah.
That's not the Kanye
I
believe.
Yeah.
And so it's just an interesting thing. He's not getting it from just one side. He's getting it from both. And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Is that you singing?
That's me. That's something I put together last week.
Man, it's solid.
Yeah. It's my falsetto.
Oh, wait. You are on the Kanye album.
I am.
Okay, got it.
You hear the person in the background, sounds like kids are singing?
Right.
That's me.
Well, as...
this is Kanye right here.
It is.
I will say...
it's good, man.
The lyrics in this one is very good. God is what it's called.
Yeah.
Listen to us, man. We're like radio DJs.
As you and I texted yesterday about the show...
yeah.
You know, a couple things that we noted, you know... there were a couple things we could have been discussing today, and you proposed this topic, and so any of our listeners that aren't enjoying today's show,
it's on me.
Just put it back on Andrew.
Yeah.
But my response to you was, I think that's a great subject. I would imagine like if we can talk about Kanye, and I responded, I would imagine he's probably talking about us,
of course,
somewhere.
Yeah, I've reached out to his people. Hopefully we can get him on the show in a couple weeks.
He wasn't available this afternoon.
it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know why I don't get a response. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Yeah. And the response that I do get is like, quit contacting
please
us.
Please stop. Interesting.
Yeah. But
interesting.
I'm working on it. I would lose my mind if Kanye responded. No. Yeah, sure. I'll come on your show. Yeah, man. I'd love to. Love to do that.
I think that could happen.
Why not? What else is he doing?
Why would Kanye not want to be on Joy 620 this morning?
I have no idea.
Or this afternoon.
Or any time of day. Or between Sundays.
Come on.
With two, you know, almost middle-aged white guys in Knoxville. Why would he not want to do that?
What are your thoughts on the criticism that he's receiving from the other side?
Yeah, I think that side probably more than the Christian side. I hate to even say that side
and this side.
Right. But let's just say for this context and what we're talking about, the side that would not be Christian that have an issue with Kanye, I feel like they are saying it's a marketing ploy. He's just doing this to sell more sneakers. He's doing this to sell more albums. And so that's why I think from a Christian standpoint, look, yeah, don't go all in. Don't start looking at him as your pastor.
Right.
But celebrate the fact that you have a man here that is claiming to be saved. If that is true, that means eternity has changed for him.
Well, we see in Scripture a few different places where the Scripture acknowledges that there are some that even their motives may be impure. Yep. And again, we are not
sure
implying that's the case with Kanye here. But even that there's things to be gleaned, there's things to be learned, and ultimately, even if truths are proclaimed, truth is still truth. And so my encouragement to listeners and to those that are kind of getting behind this experience, getting behind this album, is like glean the things about Jesus that are to be gleaned, you know, and still keep in perspective that a man is a man.
Yep.
And we're all fallen, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all subject to temptation, and we could all fall again in any number of different ways. And so it's about perspective. I do think, though, that when you consider maybe some that have really followed Kanye and have embraced some of the, you know, violence or language and some of the vulgarity and some of the stuff that he has often been associated with in the past. You know, I do think that, as you said, some think it's just simply a marketing ploy. Mm-hmm. I think that some don't want to hear truth.
Yeah.
You know? like, don't come stepping in. We invited you into our life almost, you know, like we invited you, which is so this generational,
Sure.
But we invited you into our life. We made you who you are. We brought you into our homes. We brought you into our, you know, our earbuds. And now you're going to go and do this.
Yep.
And again, I just think it's indicative. It's revealing, if anything, you know, in any context when the gospel is proclaimed, there is always a response that comes, and that response is often quite telling.
Well, and somebody said the other day, they said, if you'd have told me 10 years ago that if in 2019 Kanye West would make this shift and seem to be living for the Lord, and Taylor Swift would be going in a completely opposite direction.
Correct.
You'd have said, you're crazy.
Yeah, because think of the great irony.
Because they crossed paths.
Remember, there was that moment where, you know, he stands up and
took the
mic from her on some award show.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be disrespectful, but yeah, I mean,
yeah,
and everyone was like, she was America's darling. Yeah. And again, we are not sitting here demonizing.
Obviously,
Taylor
we're not her demographic.
Yeah, so. but interesting. She was America's darling. She was kind of considered the one that had, more traditional family values or whatever it may be. Kanye was this guy out here that was kind of running amok and doing his own thing. And now
it's crazy.
Oh, how the tides have turned.
It's crazy. And so I would say, too, if you're a parent out there and your child came home and was like, hey, I'm listening to that new Kanye. And you were like, absolutely not. You're not listening.
But I will let you listen to that new Taylor Swift album.
I would say, listen to those songs. Watch the videos and see which one you want them to listen to. Just saying. Now, the new album, I would encourage. I was driving down with my kids the other day, and I put on the new Kanye, just to hear, just to kind of get a sense of, okay, what's going on? What's all the hoopla about? And there are certain songs, the lyrics are very strong in terms of pointing people to Jesus and giving credit to where credit is due. And so I think as for Christians, we look at this and I'll be honest, there's part of me that's looking for ways to poke holes into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And looking and going, well, what pastor is he having speak at these things? He's going to Joel Osteen this Sunday.
What does that mean?
You know, what does that mean about it?
And he's going to show his cards here. Yeah.
And so that says a lot about me in my heart that I'm looking for ways to poke holes in it. When the reality is I watched one of the services and he had a pastor come out. And the pastor didn't just speak for a couple minutes. He gave a half an hour sermon. And it was a solid sermon.
Exegetically, basically.
Like preaching the gospel to people that just came to see Kanye.
Right.
And so it's kind of the same thing with, you know, we saw a glimpse of this with Justin Bieber not too long ago and starting to sing some worship songs at his concerts and talking about Jesus. And so our initial reaction is, well, I don't know about this. Instead of just celebrating the fact that if this is true, eternity has changed for this man.
Well, we as you know, we're in the middle of. I mean, you've chosen to not worship with us.
Yeah, I've been
in
other churches.
So,
I was preaching last Sunday, Jason.
I was going to say that you knew about this series, but I mean, you just don't come to church anymore.
Sorry.
No. If you don't know, Andrew is speaking at a lot of different churches here in town. We've got Sanctity of Life coming up here soon.
Even more so in January and February.
Be hopping. But we're doing the series entitled Foundations, and we're talking about the early church. We're talking about the rhythms of the early church. We're talking about things like prayer and fasting and talking about things like stewardship or I should maybe say giving in this context. Bible study. We're talking about biblical community, talking about mission. And so, you know, we're trying to use that as a look for us to examine, like, are those rhythms in place, not only for us corporately as a church, but for us individually as men and women in the church. And so one of the pieces of looking at the early church is also looking at who was a part of the early church. And you look at people like Paul, you were describing, like, there were all kinds of skeptics, like all kinds of skeptics. Like, hey, dude, I don't know if you remember, but you were murdering us, you know, and
God said, y'all need to go find Saul. And they're like, no, you're clearly not talking about the guy that we're thinking about.
Right.
That's not the guy you want us to go see.
Right. And let's face it, that's a little bit what we do. Well, that can't be authentic. And again, we don't know. We do not hear in two weeks if we see some that we've all been snookered here, you know.
Well, and even if that were to happen, it wouldn't be, I told you. We would mourn that.
Yeah, we'd grieve it.
That would not be something that we would celebrate.
Right, exactly. And so I think, again, if we're going to look at the early church, we're going to look at the church of the New Testament, there had to be this embracing of Christ really does change lives.
Yeah.
And it is radical in many contexts.
100% is radical.
And it is not, as you were describing earlier, you know, as he described, you know, a person who was dead, you know, to life, that's very different than, well, I was an average person or maybe even a bad person and now I'm a good person.
Yep.
No. Death to life. And that is what Paul was, or Saul to Paul.
Yep.
That is what, you know, what our prayer is that is authentic, that has happened with Kanye.
Yeah. Well, and what a story that it shows that God can use anybody. And God used a pastor to get through to Kanye, and he heard a message, and that message led him down a deeper path of seeking scripture and going further. And so be praying for that. And we pray that this is true and that the gospel will be preached to millions of people because of it. We'll talk more when we come back.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike.
That's good stuff, man.
Man.
It's good. It's good. I'll be bumping that in the 12 passenger as I leave.
Come on. Come on. How did the 12 passenger handle the snow?
Good, man. It's
because we had so much snow.
I was looking for parking lots. I didn't see any parking lots with snow in it.
That's because there was no. Because
I want to spin that bad boy around. I'll probably flip it. So you'll see me spin it in a parking lot, and then it'll flip over.
Nice.
So
one final thought, and then we're going to talk about your big weekend.
I have
plans,
a big weekend,
and maybe my weekend.
Yeah,
plans.
Come
I'm
on.
Not sure yet.
Come on.
But I do think we would maybe, you know, we always try to not just talk about a subject. We really do try to give some application.
Yeah.
And my simple application to our listeners today would be, let's really believe that God can do the miraculous.
Yep.
We see that God can do this. And again, whether, you know, Kanye continues to walk for the Lord for the next 50 years or not, I don't know. But I do feel like at times we have almost disqualified certain mm-hmm. people, almost as if they're too far gone. Like they can't, that person couldn't be reached.
Right.
And I would just encourage you to begin to pray those prayers, to pray for the people that are defiantly opposed to the things of the gospel, to pray for your neighbor who continually rolls his eyes or yep. rolls her eyes at you when you go to church. To pray for the people who have mocked your approach mm-hmm. towards life or your approach towards marriage or you know the biblical picture of family. I mean, I would pray for those people because one, we believe that God indeed yep. in His incredible sovereignty somehow still uses our prayers, and so that's pretty remarkable. But also, as we've talked about people like Paul and maybe people like Kanye. God can do whatever he yep. wants to do, and he can do it whenever he wants to do it. And he can use much more clever and much more creative and much more brilliant and beautiful means to bringing himself glory than we ever imagined.
Well, and I know many of us probably have someone in our lives that we can point to. My stepdad.
Yeah.
My stepdad came to our family because of divorce, because of a mess and chaos and brokenness. My stepdad was an atheist, cussed like a sailor,
yep.
Was the opposite of everything that we believed and is living for Jesus today.
Amen.
And so there was many times where I would look at my mom and go, what are you doing? There is no hope for this man.
Yep.
And he carries a Bible with him everywhere he goes.
I love that.
And he loves Jesus today, and Jesus saved him. And so there are people in our lives that we can point to and look to. And maybe we can look in the mirror and go, God saved me, the chief yeah. of sinners. He can save
yeah.
Who he wants. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so I would encourage you to pray for Kanye and what's going on in his life and pray for the people around you and know that God's gonna answer prayers. And speaking of answering prayers.
Unanswered prayers.
Yeah. So what a great transition.
Wow.
Because we're professionals.
Yeah.
That we've been talking about Kanye for an hour and then, Saturday night, Neyland Stadium is going to be the home of one. Garth Brooks and this redheaded fella is going to be there.
You're
going
to go.
I'm going.
It's going to be cold.
It's Garth.
Saturday is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Thank you.
And you're going to go to Garth?
I don't know. So I
you should tweet him.
I went
well, you don't
to,
have Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll tweet him. Say it's your birthday. You're going
to
be there.
I went to I've seen Garth live.
Yeah, of course.
And so
me too.
In fact, we lived in Nashville several years ago when they had those big massive
same neighborhood.
Floods.
Y'all lived in the same neighborhood.
And we were like, hey, Garth, good to see you again. Okay, I'll come.
Leave
to the
me alone,
show.
Garth. Yeah. Yeah.
No. So when we lived in Nashville, they had those massive floods.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did all these, fundraising
yeah.
concerts and did like two a night for like six nights in a row.
I bet he sang Thunder Rolls.
Quite a bit.
Yep.
And man, I think we went twice during yeah. that time, and then I'd seen him elsewhere. And man, he's as good as
he's
it
amazing.
Gets, you know, as far as just a live performer,
amazing, can't be.
I just don't know if we're gonna. I just
well,
don't know.
I'll tell you all about it next week.
Man,
all about it. I can't wait. It's Garth Brooks, the man.
Neyland Stadium,
the king. Well, he's not the king. George Strait's a king, but Garth is like close.
Or if we could talk about. Kanye's album, Jesus.
Come on.
Is king.
That's a pastor's answer. We'll be back next week.
Life like this is what your life like. Try to live your life right.